Good morning. It is really good to see all of you here this morning. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we do praise and thank you for your greatness. Lord, we ask that as we turn to your word now, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. And Lord, that we don't only just hear it, but that it really resides down in our hearts, Lord, and that we're able to let it have an impact on us so that we can be a witness of who you are in the world to the people around us. We ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing around in our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably noticed the title for my message, and I mentioned it to the children up here, No Pain, No Gain. And I thought it was a good title for today, being that sports have started back up. I mean, we're into football, we're into volleyball and cross country. And if you really think about sports, this statement I'm going to say is extremely true. I mean, when your coach is sitting there screaming at you, pump it one more time or run one more 40-yard dash through the sand pit, I mean, there's a reason for that, because it builds stamina. It makes you where you can run longer. It makes you stronger. Cross country, one more mile. I can't imagine running one more mile, but, it makes you where you get better. And I thought about sports, and I thought, even with the beginning of the school year, isn't that the way it works for even academics? I mean, we tell our kids, study for that test, work hard. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes if I think about what they have to go through in some of the classes I know my kids went through, my brain just hurts thinking about it. But yet there's a benefit at the end. There's a better test grade or possible grade at the end of the course. It might get you scholarships. And so we work hard at that. If there's no pain, there's no gain. And I thought, you know, this doesn't just apply to kids. This applies to adults as well. How many of you have had a knee replacement or a hip replacement? What do they do to you? I mean, you're up out of the bed in a few hours bending that joint, and I mean, they're twisting it every which direction, and you're thinking, they're going to tear it off. But why do they do that? It's to make it so that that joint gets better quicker. I mean, it's painful, but yet at the end, it's better for you. No pain, no gain. I mean, we can probably think of a lot of instances where this specific phrase applies and how we've used it on people and how people have used it on us. But I want to tell you something that I pray for every single morning. Now, I will have to, I guess, clarify that just a little bit. I don't want to make it sound like I'm perfect and do that every single morning. I try to. There are mornings here and there that I miss my prayer time. But I pray for this every morning or every time I'm in prayer. And I pray it for Stacy, my wife. I pray it for my children. I pray it for myself. And I pray it for every one of you. And that is that I would have a desire, that you, that my wife, that my kids would have a desire and a passion to love Jesus. I pray for our spiritual life. And if we think about the sports, if we think about the school, if we think about our work, if we think about everything else, what is really the most important? Is it not our daily walk with the Lord? I said at the beginning of my message, I am really glad to see all of you here, and I really, really mean that. Because I want to ask you, how many of you rolled out of bed this morning and everything went really smooth and you got here with no trouble at all? There might be a few of you. How many of you had to go find your kids' shoes? Or how many of you had to even go back in the house and change a pair of clothes that got dirty or ripped by something? How many of you had a little bit of a maybe disagreement and you had to be the referee in the car or maybe even the parking lot when you got out here? Yeah. I mean, stuff happens, right? I mean, that's why I say I'm really, really glad to see you, because I know that for a lot of people, it takes a lot of effort and mental energy just to get here, right? Because we live life and things happen and they don't go perfectly the way we want them to all the time. And so it is really, really good to see you here. You know, it is a struggle. The Christian walk is a struggle. And I think that our Hebrews passage for today, that epistle reading for today, really points that out for us. And I want to look at the Hebrews passage in Hebrews chapter 12. But first, I want us to go back to chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, the writer to the Hebrews lays out all of these faithful people as an example for us to live by and follow. I mean, and some of them are, and it says, by faith Abel did this, by faith Enoch did this, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab. There's a whole list of people that this writer of the Hebrews is saying, these people, they lived by faith. They did these things by faith. And I want you to know that if we dug into the life of every single one of these persons that the writer of the Hebrews says by faith, they were absolutely not perfect. They dealt with life stuff like each of us do. Now, maybe they didn't have to change ripped pants before they came to church or something like that, but they dealt with all sorts of issues and struggles that people deal with. And the writer says by faith, not necessarily by how good they were, not necessarily what they did, but by faith, keeping their eyes focused on God. With that chapter 11, then coming into chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I mean, here he is. He's pointing back to those cloud of witnesses, those faithful people that have gone before us. They've kept their eyes focused on God. And he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And then he goes in to our reading for today, verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I want to point out that, you know, if there's one thing that Satan wants to work on, it's to keep you away from God. And I think that's kind of what happens on Sunday morning, don't you? When you're running around trying to get everything rounded up and the shoes are missing and the kids are fighting and maybe you had to apologize to your spouse for saying something to her, Satan is at work trying to keep you from getting to church. And fortunately, we haven't come to the point of shedding blood, or at least I hope nobody shed blood this morning getting here. But we don't experience that here in our country yet. But yet, being a Christian is a challenge. It's a struggle every day to live our lives as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How many of you remember a time when your parents maybe disciplined you and they said, "This is going to hurt me more than you"? Oh, yeah. Let's change places then, right? But isn't it true? A parent disciplines with a purpose behind it. And there's pain behind that discipline, but yet it's for a purpose. And that analogy is being used here with the struggles with sin that we're faced with, the temptations that come our way in life, in a sense, is that discipline that we have to endure as a Christian. As we walk in this world, as we go through life, these things come up because of sin, sometimes a direct consequence of a sin that we've done, and sometimes just because we live in a sinful world, these things happen. And we endure. We have that pain. But hopefully at the end, we can see that there's gain. Something good has come out of this. As we look at the life of Jesus, there was certainly pain that he endured. Actually, pain that he didn't have to endure. Actually, pain that he didn't deserve. Pain that we deserve. But yet he took it on himself so we wouldn't have to. And because of what he did, because of the pain he endured, we have complete forgiveness. We have eternal life promised to us. That is the greatest news that you could ever hear, that you don't have to suffer the consequences of your sin. Jesus did it for you. That's why I say it is great that you are here today. Because you are here hearing God's word. You're here surrounded by fellow believers in Jesus Christ to encourage each other, to lift each other up, and to support each other as we walk through this place called life. Through the struggles, the challenges that come our way, we have each other to hold on to. And I say it's really good to see you here today because if you really think about it, no matter if you didn't get one of the kids' hair combed, if you look down and your son has on your sister's shoe, or your son has on your daughter's shoes, maybe you as an adult have looked down before and realized, "Oh my goodness, I have a black and a brown shoe on this morning." Even if you walked in late, or maybe you're a man and you look down and you forgot your belt, or you're feeling around and you missed the belt loop, and everybody's looking at it, right? It doesn't matter, because guess what? You're where? You're here. How much could God's love cover? How much of us overlooking some of these little things that we sometimes consider important just to know that people are here? I mean, you absolutely have no idea what the person went through sitting next to you to get here today. But they're here. and we're glad you're here. I pray that as we continue into this new school year, into this school year and into the, I guess just the community as St. John here, that we truly do have a passion for who Jesus is, that we have a love for Him that spurs on our ability to be a witness to those around us, remembering that no pain, no gain. That even applies to our Christian walk. It's not easy. It can be painful at times. But what is our ultimate gain? The forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.